I asked Bill what he was going to preach about today. This goes way back. We've worked together in the past. And whenever he was not assigned to preach, I would always ask him, what are you going to preach about today? I was kind of paid back today. I don't know if that created any anxiety for you, but when I came walking out, Mark said, oh, by the way, we're going to be recording today. Guess what? My anxiety level went up to here. All right. You know, we go way back to the time shortly after Jesus, and let's just place ourselves as Jews in the Old Testament community's background. And we have come to something new and exciting. God had been promising through our prophets in the Old Testament to send the Messiah. And we have been part of hearing the good news or seeing the excitement among this group of people called Jesus followers. And so we're kind of drawn in to the community. So as good Jews, we continue to worship in the Jerusalem temple, pray there. And we continue to worship the God of the Old Testament. But now we have this new and exciting experience that we are celebrating during this Easter season, that Jesus, who died as a common criminal on the cross, appeared to his followers and is now known to be risen Lord. And the power of his Spirit is at work in our midst, and we see it everywhere we turn. But as exciting that it is for us, notice that there's a human element in the faith community way back then that says, you know, everything isn't always jump up and down with joy. Now, I noticed this morning when I came in, a lot of you were very upbeat. And I could sense the Easter joy and the life of the springtime that we are beginning to experience. All of that is having an impact on us and helping us perhaps to tap more into the presence of God in our own lives. So what am I talking about when I say the human element of a faith community? Well, we have some little old widows who are grumbling. They gathered for common meals, and that's in the Acts of the Apostles. And even though the gospel writer who wrote Acts says there were even priests, our priests from the temple came over and became followers of Jesus, these little old widows are a little incensed because they are Greek-speaking, they're Hellenists. And guess what? The Hebrew widows seem to be getting better treatment at table than they are. And so the apostles said, okay, we're a little busy preaching the word these days, and we'd better come up with something here. So they tell the community, you discern among yourselves. Let the Holy Spirit select certain people from the community to serve as deacons, if you will, and to wait on table. So they remedied that problem, okay? Kind of exciting. But, you know, if you think about faith communities today, we can be very excited about the presence of God. People can inspire us. People in the community can do things that touch our hearts with the power of the Spirit and so on. However, we are human. And so there will always be some grumbling. There will always be some glitches. There will always be something that it takes for us to grow more into the Spirit of Christ. Okay. I'm going to share with you something. The other night I came home and I was going to go to bed early because I had to get up early. And as some of us do, have you ever sat down with your cell phone and started looking at it? Well, I came across a Mormon site, some kind of a chat site, if you will. And there was kind of like a Mormon therapist, I think he was a former Mormon, and there was a young man that he was interviewing. The young man asked if he could share his story on this website. And so he began to talk. He came from a Mormon family where they were very strict in following Mormonism. His mother was a very devout person, and he admired her for that. But as he became a teenager, he started to struggle with things in his life. And he was even designated a priest, and he could even help with the sacrament, if you will, when they gathered for their worship services. But there was something missing. He knew that there was a deeper sense of God's presence that he should be able to find other than in what the Mormon Church was offering him. Now, by the way, I thought immediately of the Catholic Church, the institutional side of the church, where people are more intent on the rules, following the dogmas, and making sure that everything is done squeaky clean, and so on. And so much so that that becomes the focal point, rather than on the awareness of Christ's presence. Now, I hope you sense the presence of Christ in the people who are gathering here today, because it's that real for us, in people who maybe come here struggling, maybe a little tired this morning, whatever, and yet there was a kind of quiet joy in people's greetings of each other. Okay, so this young man was beginning to feel guilty because he was not, he was struggling with his adolescent, you know, coming of age and all of that kind of thing. And so he went on, and he was even signing up for Mormon missionary work, as they have to do for a certain period of time. And then all of a sudden, he went to Brigham Young University, which we know is a Mormon university. And the day that he graduated, he left Mormonism. Why? Because it wasn't providing him. It was too much institutionalism. It was too much rules and regulations, and it wasn't tapping into his human experience. He was looking for a sense of the presence of God. And he began to tell this counselor who was listening to him, I know that God is bigger than the rules and regulations of Mormonism. Can anybody relate to that? I have to tell you, I preside at different convents around the city. And guess what? As I'm talking about the rules and regulations taking the place sometimes of the presence of God and being able to sense the presence of God, the little old sisters were nodding their heads. Sister, when you walk in, you will fold your hands just like this, and you will walk very carefully like this, and so on. You didn't know that probably if you hadn't been brought up in a convent. You know, Joanne, you're smiling. I'd love to turn the microphone over to you right now because I think you could tell some very interesting stories. Okay. Well, anyway, I want to ask you today, what are you doing to make sure that you are attuned to a sense of God's presence? You know, I've mentioned before that I am into the evolutionary theologians of today. And they see God at the core of everything that exists. And so a walk in nature, and many of us can relate to this perhaps, a walk in nature can sometimes inspire us and make us sense and help us to think about the presence of God and feel the presence of God. But God is present everywhere we turn, you know? And I'm wondering how many of us really believe that we are a royal priesthood, as the letter to Peter said today. We are possessing, even now at this moment, the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that Jesus promised to send. How do you sense that Spirit? And how do you respond to that Spirit's inner prompting to be a follower of Jesus? Because Jesus said that Spirit was going to be present and that his followers would do things even greater than he. In other words, speak forth the presence of God. They would be able to go into places that Jesus could not go when he was here on earth. But he sent his Spirit, and so he is present to us in the Spirit. So I'm wondering, is the Spirit at work in you today? Where do you sense the Spirit of the risen Christ at work in your life during this Easter season, or in your life at all?